welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus. I'm glad you joined me today. And today, Lord willing, we will conclude the message on I've been sharing these last several days on the mind of Christ. And for very many reasons I shared, it's important that we have the mind of Christ. Paul says, let this mind, it's a command. And so I thought it was interesting if we just sort of looked at what are the features or characteristics of the mind of Christ, which are really overlapping. And what we've done, and if you've missed any, if you want to rehear them, just go back to unveilchrist.org and click on the podcast. He had a lowly, meek mind. He had a pure mind. It was a strong mind. And also, it was a fruitful mind. He was constantly concerned about pleasing his Father. It was an unselfish mind. And now, today, we're going to look at the sixth and seventh characteristic that I've chosen to share with you. And the sixth being a prayerful mind. Although he must have been the busiest man on earth, he always found time to pray. And sometimes, he continued all night in prayer. An example, Luke the 6th chapter, verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. And I'm not going to take the time to read them, but here are some scriptures, if you're interested, for the recorded prayers of Jesus. Mark 1:35, Luke 5:16, Luke 6:12, Luke 9:28-29, John, the 11th chapter, verse 41, Matthew 26:36-39, Hebrews is 5:7-9. Beloved, Jesus was never out of fellowship with the Father. His whole life was one long, unbroken intercession. And, of course, isn't that what we're exhorted to in the New Covenant? Let us evermore pray without ceasing. That we should make every effort to make our lives a prayer of service and submission and selflessness. Our lives should be a life of worship, not just, you know, singing in church on Sunday, but everything we do is basically just communion. That's what prayer is, communion with our God. And lastly, the mind of Christ is a loving mind. Even when he was on the cross, remember the intense agony that he was in, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And beloved, he was gentle, he was meek and mild, but he was strong because of the zeal that he had for the purity and the purpose of his Father's house. Remember, he took time to actually create, or what did he do, interweave a whip and drove out the money changers. He turned their tables over. That's not a picture of a weak, insipid Christ, but one who is strong, and yet he was very loving. You see, that's who our God is. He's a holy, loving God, but he cannot countenance sin and rebellion. And so, beloved, we need to have those same characteristics of loving. And then, of course, when it comes to the area of judgment, that's why we're exhorted not to judge one another or to judge anything before the time, because that's God's metron. That's what he has reserved for himself. Only he knows the heart of an individual man or woman. Only he knows what goes into making them say what they do or do what they do. And so, beloved, while we need to have discernment from the Holy Ghost to discern that which is of God and that which is not. Yet we are not to, when it starts going into judging one another, well, I don't think that way, I don't believe that way. You know, as long as there's agreement on the basic tenets of the Christian faith, who Jesus is, what he came to do, that he died to save sinners, he was buried, and he rose from the grave on the third day. As long as we believe those things, that's the things that we need to major on. Let's not major on the minors. There are so many things that have torn the church apart because, well, you know, it's their opinion and interpretation of Scripture. And that's basically why people divide. Well, I don't feel that way at all, so I'm just going to take my marbles and I'm going to, you know, go to create another church, create another denomination. And so, beloved, that's what I'm saying. If we'd have the mind of Christ, there would not be the strife and the division and the lack of harmony that there is in the church world. And, beloved, let it, you know, we can't change denominations. We can't change leaders. All we can do is pray and ask the Lord to change ourselves. Ephesians 5 and 2 says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God." Sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The great purpose of Jesus' life, beloved, was to show kindness and to offer help and to point men toward the gift of eternal life. And to accomplish this, he was constantly going about looking for opportunities to show the kindness of God. In Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 38, it's recorded, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good." Benevolent acts are the precious fruit of one who has the mind of Christ. We're not only thinking, we're acting like the Lord would act. Praise God. "Greater love than this hath no man than he lay down his life for his brethren." Amen. And yet, while Jesus was willing to do that, in terms of his physical life, and who knows, there are those, in the future, or there certainly have been those in the past that in love have laid down their physical life. Yet in the laying down of one's life, you can do that by just sacrificing your own self-interests, sacrificing the things you want to do when you want to do that. If there's a need, do you just say, well, you know, too bad, and go about doing your business? Or do you stop and say, Lord, how can I help? How can I be used of you to touch this person with your love? Beloved, that's where we need to be at, available to the Lord, always ready to be used by him and for him. Just like Jesus, the greatest of these, remember, faith, hope, and charity, these three abide, but the greatest of these shall be charity. Hallelujah, is charity. And think about this. What a power the Church of the Living God would be if every member were possessed with this mind, the mind of Christ. And yet, no, this is a command. It's something we should be aspiring to. The Amplified translates that particular verse this way: "Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." Think about that, beloved. Not that I've been totally exhaustive, but what is the mind of Christ? A lowly, a meek mind, a pure mind, a strong mind, a fruitful mind, an unselfish mind, a prayerful mind, a loving mind. These, if we would cultivate these things that I've shared with you, we would certainly not be unfruitful in our service for the Lord. And how do we go about this? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to turn to the remedy and the solution. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2. Well, actually, let me start reading at verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, that's how do we have the mind of Christ? By having our minds transformed, renewed by the Word of God. Praise God, the perfect will of God, walking in the fear of the Lord. Praise God. Well, I pray you've been blessed as well as challenged by these scriptures, these thoughts that I've shared with you. Let's go to prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I do pray that the command you gave, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, Lord, we pray not only for ourselves, but for the body of Christ, that even worldwide, Lord, you would cause this to occur. Holy Spirit, only you can accomplish this impossible task. But we pray, O Lord, that you would do it in the mighty and matchless and wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For my beloved, the Spirit of the Lord would speak to you on this wise. I call you, yea, to a higher calling. I call you to move into higher ground, where you shall perceive that the things that you've been preoccupied with, the things that the enemy would distract you with, are insignificant compared to my plan, my purposes for you. Even now, I would say, come up higher. Yea, is it not written in my word that you are already seated with me in heavenly places? Therefore, let the burdens, let the cares, let the troubles of this life flow from you right now. Just slough them off your shoulders, says the Lord, and let me put my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I would fill you with my peace and my joy, and you shall know that this walk is not a hard, difficult walk, but it is truly one of joy unspeakable, full of the glory of your God. Receive my words, for I strengthen you to do my will, and you shall rejoice, for you shall see the Lord transform you, even as you meditate and eat and feed upon my word, says the Lord. Praise God. Well, thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's been a joy to minister to you today, and tomorrow we'll see what the Lord has for us, but thank you for joining me today. The announcer will give you our contact information. If you have prayer needs, won't you right. It's a very special part of UCM Ministries that I wait before the Lord and pray personally and minister to every person that does write in. God bless you. Thank you for listening. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,